From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds. Over 60% of Americans are overweight or obese. It's connected to less physical activity and to the way our diets have changed over the past generations. People are taking less time to prepare meals at home. There's a huge increase in consumption of processed foods, chock full of sugar, salt, and fat. Obesity can lead to heart disease, rising rates of diabetes, and many other health problems, and this in turn drives up healthcare costs for all of us. What should government do or not do about this? There are already labels on foods. There are government-recommended numbers of different kinds of foods we should eat to maintain a healthy diet. Is that enough? Is that too much? Should government do more? And if so, what? We're at 206-543-5869. That's 206-543-KUOW. It's toll-free, 800-289-5869. Write to us, conversation@kuow.org. New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg famously is trying to ban the Big Gulp, those 32-ounce soda drinks. Is that going too far? Some, even within the food industry, have compared snacks to cigarettes in terms of the damage they can do to health. Should government take stronger steps, as they have done with cigarettes? 206-543-5869. It's 206-543-KUOW. Or do you subscribe to the nanny state theory that government already does too much and interfering with what we eat is just going too far? 800-289-5869. Write to us, conversation@kuow.org. Dr. William Hallman directs the Rutgers University Food Policy Institute. They study the food system there. His background is psychology. He's a professor of ecology at the Rutgers School of Environment and Biological Sciences. Dr. Hallman runs a farmer's market at the university. What's going to be good at the farmer's market this weekend, Dr. Hallman?
Really in New Jersey for Jersey fresh fruits and vegetables. Call me back in about 6 weeks, and we should have some good fresh fruits and vegetables.
Nothing yet then. Hey, a recent study by Harvard School of Public Health and the American Heart Association linked 25,000 deaths in the U.S. to consumption of sugar-sweetened beverages. You see a number like that and you think, well, shouldn't the government be warning us about it? What's your take on that?
Well, you know, I've seen that study. It is very preliminary. If that is true, it is an important statistic. But right now, I think that the data is a little too preliminary to actually draw that conclusion. So I don't think the government should be taking any action based on that particular study.
Now, John writes to us, I'm a type 2 diabetic. I'm pretty sure that's partly because of 90% of what's in the grocery store has corn syrup or soy in it. He says that the government should stop subsidizing sugar and carbs that are bad for us and subsidize healthy fruits and vegetables instead. Does the government subsidize sugar and carbs?
In a way that they do. Our agricultural policy is really focused on five main crops and providing price supports and, in effect, subsidizing corn and soy and wheat in particular. Those crops also get used to feed animals, so also helping to subsidize the chicken and the meat industry. So in a way, our agricultural policy does make those kinds of foods much, much cheaper.
Some draw a straight line between those subsidies of corn to our obesity problem. John's obviously one of them. What do you think?
I think it's difficult to draw straight lines between any particular product and obesity. You know, I think one of the problems with Bloomberg's proposal to restrict the amounts of sugary soft drinks, for example, is that it focused on a particular food. You know, I think what we know is that it's the total amount of calories that one takes in, not necessarily in a particular format, that really matters here. What we need to be doing is reducing total calories, not eliminating single products from our diets.
Kara writes, she wants government to ban junk food advertising to kids, ban junk food in daycares and schools. What do you think about a government doing that?
Well, in a way, the industry is already trying to do that, or says that they're doing that. The studies that have looked at the effectiveness of those voluntary programs find them inconsistent at best. Part of the problem really is identifying what junk food actually is. And, you know, it's we know it when we see it, But in terms of creating a regulation, we actually have to have a definition, a scientific definition. Any food can be good for you, or okay for you at least, in small quantities. So there isn't a particular definition of a junk food that would be easy for us to actually regulate.
We talked to Michael Moss about his book Sugar, Fat, and Salt a couple weeks ago. He's the award-winning, Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter who he writes that food processors have figured out that our snack food recipes can really trick us into eating more. They've figured out a way to have some of the things that we might naturally make us feel full be suppressed so we keep eating more. And he talks about how some people, even within the food industry, compare it to drug addiction. What do you think of that comparison?
I think that is a little extreme. I think that food manufacturers certainly have spent a lot of time and energy and research trying to give consumers what pleases them. Whether that rises to the level of brain activity to say that that's actually addiction or not is actually pretty controversial. I think it is clear, however, that the food manufacturers have given us lots of things that we like to eat a lot of. The question, I think, is what's to be done about that? If they're giving us what we want, whose responsibility is it for us as individuals to try and cut back on those particular products?
That's a really great point. And to what degree is it personal responsibility to make these decisions? Is the fact that Americans are growing more overweight and obese just our fault? We're just eating too much and not exercising enough. Is it something government should just be on the sidelines of?
That really is the central question in the debate here. How much should individual choice play in the kinds of foods that we eat, in the amounts of foods that we eat, and what role should government actually play? We know that our food environment makes a big difference. We know that the kinds of choices that are available to us strongly influences the choices that we make. And government can actually play a role in what choices we have. I think the issue is, should government play a role in deciding what it is that we can buy and what it is we cannot buy? There are real questions of civil liberties. You mentioned the nanny state earlier in your intro. I think that consumers respond pretty negatively to the idea that government can tell you what you can and cannot eat. Ultimately, I think that the soda ban, for example, had to have some backlash. Nobody likes to be told what they can and cannot eat. I think that government can, however, play an increasing role in making it easier or providing greater incentives for us to eat healthier foods as opposed to telling us what we can't eat.
Let's go to Michael, who's calling from Boston today. We are asking the question of what do you want your government to do or not to do when it comes to getting us to eat better than we eat now? What do you got to say, Michael?
Government subsidizes industrial agriculture both directly and by keeping the price of petroleum down through our military expenditures and through the use of the public airwaves that many of the firms use to run commercials with which to hack our primate and earlier systems that have trouble understanding the way reality works. So to say that government should do nothing is in discouraging our eating these things is to say basically government should keep on doing all the things that it does to help create the problem and then do nothing to try to solve it.
Good point. Dr. William Hallman, should government continue doing what it is doing?
Well, what the government is doing is not nothing. And I think that there certainly is a role for expanded government intervention in this. The question really is a balance. One of the things that we have to keep in mind that food, unlike alcohol or tobacco, is quite a different thing. We're not simply talking about nutrition. We're talking about culture. We're talking about tradition. We're talking about pleasure in many respects. And so for the government to intervene simply on a nutritional basis makes a lot of sense. The problem is that many, many people, don't view food simply as nutrition. It is culture. It is pleasure. It's all of these other things wrapped up into it. And that makes the choices really, really difficult.
Andy wrote to us to say the single most important thing government can do is to encourage health, is to encourage eating fresh and local, support farmers markets, and give a break to truck gardens close to urban centers. As I mentioned earlier, you're going to be starting up a farmers market near Rutgers shortly. Do you think that's something government should encourage?
Absolutely, and the USDA actually is doing that through their Know Your Farmer, Know Your Food program. Actually, the number of farmers markets around the country has expanded exponentially over the last decade or so. Fresher foods, local foods, the government can and is encouraging those purchases. They're also providing coupons to seniors, to women and children who are part of the Women, Infant, and Children Supplemental Nutrition Program to actually buy fresh products at farmers markets. That is one of the things I think government can do, is doing, and could do more of.
I'm a label reader at the grocery store. I try to see what it is that I'm buying. Bob writes, we should have consumer protection in the form of information about calories, carbs, etc., posted on foods and in restaurants. Should the government require restaurants to be more forthcoming with nutritional information on the foods we buy there?
That's a great observation, a great question. In fact, the government is doing that as part of the new Health Care Act. Restaurants with over a certain number of outlets, and even companies with vending machines over a certain number, are required to post calorie counts. Many restaurants have already gotten the jump on that and are doing that already. The problem, though, with that and with label information is that we as consumers are really good at ignoring that information.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that. Your background is psychology. Are we rational when it comes to decisions about food?
I would say we're only partially rational when it comes to food. Emotion, context, environment, tradition, what we grew up with makes a huge difference in the kinds of food choices that we make. You know, we're not simply choosing based on a nutrition label, often when we have a craving for something. It's just so much more complicated than that.
So there's the theory of nudge, the fact that government shouldn't ban or stop things, but should set up your choices so that you're more apt to make the good choice. What do you think about that as a philosophy on how government might try to influence our eating habits for the better?
Well, we know from research in behavioral economics that if we could make healthy choices the default choices, we could have actually a pretty large impact on obesity, on making healthier choices much more prominent. And there are a lot of things that we can do in the schools, for example, to make a healthy choice the default choice. Making it cheaper and easier to get fresh fruits and vegetables. Those are all things that government can do to make the default choice the healthy choice.
Dr. William Hallman is the director of the Rutgers University Food Policy Institute. Thank you so much for joining us. And the conversation continues at our Facebook page, KUOW's The Conversation. See what others have written. Share your thoughts on what you've heard. That's KUOW's The Conversation.